You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to Black Hair in the Big Leagues, y'all. I'm so excited. I'm still brand new at this. I don't care if you are hearing this as episode 18 or 1 million and 5. This is the second time I have ever recorded. And I'm so excited because today I have on somebody who's very special to me. She is my curly girl hair inspiration. She's the person, who encouraged me to embrace the stuff growing out of my head. Her name, introducing the one, the only, Jessie Hooker Bailey.
Hello.
Hi, Jessie. I didn't mention that, like, I know Jessie from Beautiful, the Carole King musical on Broadway. Yes. And then she left us for Waitress, the musical on Broadway, which we were not mad, honey.
I wasn't mad either, but I'm happy to have your support.
Like, do you know? We were like, oh my goodness, wait, Jessie's leaving us, but where is she going? Oh, yes, baby. Like,
I feel like I love our connection because we had a little tag team moment because I made my debut. Oh, God, it's in September of 2017. So we're coming up on an anniversary.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was swinging and they told me I knew my dates ahead of time for my debut because they were like, Celicia's going to be coming in, but you'll have 2 weeks to do the Lucille track before she comes in. So it was like, remember you coming in and following me to like get the track down from tour and making sure it was all the same. And
oh, you were so helpful too. I'm like, you were so specific in your notes to me. I'm like, thank you.
Just because I'm crazy. But yeah.
No. And also on my debut, I feel like you were like, not in the wings, but places where you're like, go this way. Like, it was like, like an angel.
Hi, Celicia. I miss you.
I miss you too. How are you?
I'm good. It's a crazy, crazy time, you know, but just doing everything I can to stay sane. What about you?
Me too. Right now, I'm like, I got this new microphone and I realize I'm like, I love talking into it, but I don't have that many voiceover auditions. So I was like, what can I do with this thing?
It's a good idea though. I think you're meant to be hosting like TV shows, podcasts. I could definitely see this happening.
Girl, thank you for the encouragement. Like, yes. Okay, for those of you who are listening, I know that this is an audio podcast. It's not a video yet. but Jessie, you're gonna have to look her up because she's got this perfect head of curls.
Oh.
I'm serious, like they are just these perfect, like, you're black, right? Like,
I could give you my whole history because it's so funny when people compliment my hair because, you know, we all know, as you'll be getting into, like, we have our own journeys with it, you know? But I am black. I'm biracial. My mom's white. My dad's black. But I have really thick hair. And you see pictures now and it lays down, but it's been a journey of, like, well, are we just going to dive in? Like, did I just tell you hair journey?
Yes, okay, girl, okay. Go.
So as I said, I'm biracial. My mom's white. My dad's black. So, you know, even my dad, who's black, didn't know how to do my hair. So most of my pictures in my childhood is just like, I have vivid memories of just laying up against my mom's stomach as she like brushed my hair just so it all like fit in a little like hair tie and was tied to the top of my head. Like that's how it was for most of my childhood. Once in a while, my sisters kind of helped out with styling it for school pictures. But, you know, I truly did not learn how to do my hair until, it's sad, but like right before my wedding in 2017.
Wait. I don't know if I knew that because you're one of the first natural hair brides that I've ever No.
Yes. Well, that's why it was because I knew I wanted my hair to be natural. But so cut to when I was younger, I was like telling my mom, I would just want my hair. I grew up in like a mainly white neighborhood. So a lot of my friends were white. And I just told her I wanted my hair to lay down like all of my white friends, you know? And she was like, well, you're beautiful the way you are. But she was also kind of in this like stance of like, I don't know how to do your hair either. So let me, so we were doing the Just For Me boxes, girl, like the relaxers that have all of the chemicals in it.
Yeah. I didn't know you used a relaxer.
Yeah. So that was like most of my childhood was doing that. But then after a while, it was the seventh grade. I'll never forget. I had this traumatic experience of my hair just started breaking off.
No.
Like we were doing it and it was unfortunate. It was just a big traumatic experience of like, oh, I look at now and I'm like, oh, I did not know how to love myself. You know, I just wanted to be like everybody else.
So everybody else in terms of what we saw in the media.
Exactly.
Just want to look like the white girls on TV. Right.
Just let us let our hair lay down, please. Right. And my poor, because I wasn't really around a lot of black people. And even, you know, like I said, my dad was doing his best, but he didn't really know. And so I didn't have enough teachers around me, right? I didn't have enough representation around me. But it was that moment of it breaking off that we then had to cut my hair. It was Dennis Rodman length, girl, like super, super short in the seventh grade too. So it was like, I was constantly being mistaken for a boy, which is fine, but not like what I wanted personally. So then it was just, it was from then on. I remember I was like, I don't want to do any more chemicals to my hair. And that kind of started my natural hair journey. I went through in college, like wanting to straighten it all the time. And then there was lots of heat damage from there. Then on, but it was really in my like adulthood, I would say, that I was like, okay, I'm just going to learn how to deal with this curliness and product after product. But it wasn't truly until like, I feel like 2017, right before my wedding, when I got the like, tutorial from Joseph, who I introduced you to.
So yeah. Joseph, curls on fifth, literally, like that was a game changer. I mean, I've been to like Diva Curl, like Diva Shawn Salon before, but it was so like, I was not all in. So it was like, oh, I got my hair cut for my curls and now I'm going to straighten my hair again.
Exactly. No, I remember, Felicia. So once I met Joseph through Instagram, I was looking up like curly haired brides, like natural hair, like trying to figure out like, where should I go? And I remember I was like, okay, it's this like white guy, like, but maybe he's going to teach me how to do my hair.
You have a lot of faith.
Yeah, I do, because I did have a lot of black friends at that point too. Like as I was growing up and like coming out of my, you know, my hometown and meeting other black women, it was also through doing different shows with black women where they were like, okay, try this. You know, material, or curl your hair like this, or wear it like this, that it's all kind of like added up. So I'm super thankful for that. But yeah, meeting up with Joseph, I did have a lot of friends be like, good luck, girl. Right. He met me and he saw my hair and he was like, oh, you don't know how to do it. And I was like, yeah, so teach me. So I really loved, like, as he was teaching me how to do cutting my hair, he was also teaching me some things. So that was really, really
okay.
Helpful.
Wait. So I'm like, for my own personal, I'm going to have to like stalk and see the befores, because I've only known you with a perfect set of curls. And I think it's
I'm
going
to send you some pictures. Yeah. I'll send you some pictures to post.
Please.
So like before and after.
Yeah. Because I just feel like it's not an overnight, at least.
No. To love it, right? Like to really learn to love your hair.
And how to style it and how to make it like to where you're not embarrassed.
Right. So Lisa, I remember like when you asked me to do this, that's why, and every picture I've been seeing of you, like my heart is just like pounding with excitement for you, because I see you like embracing it and I know what that journey is like. I know. Yes, it is. It's just a process. And I think that's what this time and life is about right now, right? Like just day by day. And like, we can only do our best. But once I started loving my hair, it was like, oh, I need to share this with everyone. And I remember when I met you and you had like all different wigs and you were just like, oh my God, I hate my natural hair. I hate my natural hair.
Oh my gosh. People didn't know what my hair looked like on tour.
Right.
Like,
and
I
you
was
liked
always
that,
in
right?
a big prep. What?
Did you like that? Like, did you enjoy like kind of like, oh, well, no one needs to see that? Or what was your, what were your feelings about it?
I don't know if enjoy was the right word. I just knew that like, well, I don't really need to take care of my own hair because I can just go buy a wig, which also made me, well, I straightened my hair a lot, but when I started wearing more wigs, I kind of stopped straightening so much because I'm like, I don't need to damage my hair this consistently. I can just put a wig on.
Yeah, yeah. And it's easy.
And it got to, yeah, it's easy. I mean, also when you're in a wig prep 8 times a week, here's where it got, I was like, my brain switched and was just lazy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, what's the point of taking out this wig prep ever? If I have to be in it 8 times a week, I'll just, Jesse, I would keep my wig prep in until it's stunk. Like, like bad. Like the hair person on tour had to be like, Salisha,
it's time.
When's the last time you've washed your hair? Like, I don't know what happened. I just like gave up. Or
yeah, I think a lot of people are in that place. I think we're taught to not love it, right? And people will see my hair and be like, well, you have it easy because your hair lays down and your hair, but it had been a journey of letting it grow out and patience. That's like, okay, eventually this is, my hair will get heavy enough to lay down. Or you just, once you learn how to style it and love it, you're like, oh, I could do it like this and I could do it like this.
The patience, that's the hardest thing. Like, so I've been on this journey since like officially not straightening, no heat, like since 2018. Mm-hmm. And getting a chop, it feels like, will it ever
grow? Go back? I was going to ask you, I know this is you interviewing me, but what made you want to change?
Oh gosh, Jesse.
Yeah. Cause I don't think I know this journey.
I think it was just something that was always in the back of my mind. Like, I wish I could stop putting heat on my hair. Because I remember, like, I started straightening my hair since the 4th grade. But there was a couple of times, like, consistently. But there was a couple of times that I went to Miss Chris at the Elan Salon in Fresno, California. And she would wash my hair. And before she straightened it and, like, blow dried it straight, I would look in the mirror and be like, oh, I wish I could just keep it like this.
Oh,
I'm already in the chair. And also, I didn't know what to do.
Right. That's what it is. We're so afraid to ask, you know? And then it was, I remember before I even met Curls on Fifth, I did Color Purple in Milwaukee. And I remember it was my first time too, being in a cast of mostly Black women, that it was like, I learned how to prep my hair. You know, it was, I always thought like I had to get it straight and I had to do this. Like, again, I'm fully admitting, like, I did not have enough people around me to like really teach me. Right. But then it was like, oh, okay, I can enjoy these curls. And oh, when I take it out of prep, it's kind of cute. Like, I could embrace this.
Right. If the people who are around you also don't know,
exactly.
It's like you want to ask, but if no one knows, like my mom, she's fully Black, but she did not know what to do with
your hair.
Like, yeah. She's like, all right, well, time to go get it straightened. Like,
right. Like, because she's taught a certain thing too, right? So it's kind of like,
that's how they grew up.
Exactly. So it's kind of like we're breaking the cycle of like, okay, what are our other options here? And like, how else can we love ourselves? And how can it be easy for us, right? Like, instead of making it hard.
I'm like, if our generation is embracing, or if more and more people at least are embracing their natural hair, their curls, the way they come out of their head, can you imagine what all these little girls and boys are going to look like running around the planet? Just like this texture.
Exactly. And it's such a, like, it's such a bigger message too of like embracing all of you and not feeling like you have to like, quote unquote, like fix it. You know what I mean?
We're going to cut for a short ad break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So you mentioned your wig prep and how, like, you thought it was supposed to be a certain way. Like, and I feel that too, because I've watched a lot of white girls put their hair into wig prep and I'm like,
exactly.
Oh, that's how I, but no, it's a different, it can be the same, but it's like,
yeah, it's just different for you.
How do you do your wig prep?
It's changed. I think even when I was at Beautiful and going into Waitress, it changed. And it
or
was
what's
just,
one of your favorite way? Like,
I like just twisting, kind of like French braidy, but I don't braid it. I'd like twist my hair on each side. That gets it like the flattest, I think, for the wig to go over it. But I would just do like regular pin curls, I think, at Beautiful. And then I think at Waitress, I had like kind of closer to the head wigs, and they were like, hey, you could just
right
kind of do a French braid situation.
Interesting.
Yeah, what is yours?
Well, I started off with a white girl wig prep, which mm-hmm. like the two fingers.
Yep.
Put the hair around each of the two fingers as if it was straight and silky, except I'm doing that
all
to
the
an afro.
Like, come out. Uh-huh.
Right. I'm like, I need like 10 bobby pins.
Yes. For one. I know that life.
But mine turned into a twist out. My wig prep for Broadway, like, it's a twist out, and then I like try to make them as flat as possible. And then when I'm done, if I want to take it out, it's like more
already,
or less twist out hair.
Yeah, it's like already in your curl pattern.
Yeah, and if I take my time, like before the show, and actually like moisturize each section,
yes.
and do that, then it's like, oh, I can actually leave this in like a real for real twist out.
Yeah. And it's such a form of like self-care too, isn't it? Like actually taking
yes.
the time. Like I remember when I was younger, it was like, okay, we got to straighten, we got to leave this much time to do it, like da da da. But it's so like nice to be like, okay, I'm doing this with my hair, and I love taking care of it. I love Sundays are kind of my day of like, okay, we're going to deep condition.
First Sunday.
Yeah. We're going to wash. We're going to like really take the time to take care of.
Yes.
Take and care of her.
There's this guy called Vernon Francois.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of him? Is that how you say
no,
his name?
No, I haven't heard of him.
Ashley De La Rosa introduced me to like some of his like practices, like if you watch him on YouTube. And
Oh gosh,
why did I just bring him up? Oh, brain fart. Why did I bring him up? Oh yeah, he's the one who was like, if you watch his videos, he's like, when you're doing your hair, stop rushing, you guys. Stop
yes.
being like frustrated with your hair and
exactly.
light a freaking candle. Put on, except he has a French accent and I don't know how to do a French accent. Put the candle on. Oh my gosh, I'm so bad. Put some music on and like stop rushing and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. It matters when we take our time for things, you know, like, and it needs that time. Exactly.
Yes. Game changer. Like when
yes.
I'm not rushing through my hair, the amount of hair on my brush at the end of my doing my hair session is
uh-huh.
so
completely changed.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, again, this is like the stuff that's gone through my head when you asked me to do this. I was like, I remember giving you Joseph's name for Curls on Fifth. I was like, I had a great experience with him, all my friends, and he does all different types of curly hair, black, white, Hispanic, every kind of curly head type. And he'll really walk you through like how to do it and how to do it with the products he knows. And he studied at Diva, like with a Diva Shawn, like Curl Salon, mm-hmm. and
yes.
has all of that history. And there's like no judgment, you know, because that's another thing for me. Like when I grew up, like there were some salons we'd walk into and I remember them being like, we can't handle that hair. You know what I mean? And again, it was like, you know, I understand, because if it was mostly white salons and they don't have that experience, they don't want to mess it up. And I appreciate them for that. But that was definitely like a traumatic time of like,
yeah.
no one likes my hair and I don't like my hair. But again, it's nice to like go somewhere. And I know there are tons of like black salons too throughout New York City that handle our hair and know how to. And feel confident and can also teach you as they're doing it to be like, okay, so this is what you want
right.
to use. This is how you want to do it. But I remember giving you his name. And I remember when you came back, Felicia, and it was before a show and you were not happy. And my heart just broke because I was like, oh no. Like, you were just like, it's not him. It's just, I don't think I like my hair like this.
Oh my gosh, I remember this.
Yes. So I was like, no, Felicia, you have to like, but it's what you said. It's a journey. And you were like, it's not him. It's just, I don't know if I like my hair like this. Like, it's just a transition.
Yeah, like he defined each curl, which is why I was like, it's not him. Like, my curls actually look great.
Yeah.
This is what my curls can look like. That's amazing.
Right.
But it was just, it was shorter and it wasn't straight and sleek. It wasn't
what we were used to seeing. I know exactly. I'm going to show you like pictures from when I first went to, because I was like, this is beautiful, but like, who am I?
Oh my gosh.
And then it's like going out. I was like, just be patient, Felicia. You're going to love it. Like, it's totally worth it. But I remember your face. You were like,
I was very on the fence, especially like, and I live in New York. My family's in California, but like when I go home to California, everybody kind of thinks the same way. So it's like, if I'm trying this new look, I go home and they're like, please let this be a phase. Like, they're like, are you like California, like doing pageants, all that stuff is like,
right.
Your hair different is frizzy. Are you good? Are you gonna? Whereas in New York, it's like,
let it out.
Yes. Yeah. Doesn't matter what color it is. It can be bright pink, bright green, however it grows out of your head. You want dreads, you want to do whatever you want to do with your hair. Here, it is just like, girl, go. Like, or boy, go. Or like, them, go. Like,
exactly.
It's just so much freer. We'll be right back right after the break. I want to ask you about something.
Okay.
And I'm interested in asking you, but I'm also not sure if it's like a good thing or a bad thing, if you think that.
Okay.
And absolutely, the way I'm referring it about you is a compliment, but I am curious to know what you will think. So I have been thinking about this idea of corporate curls.
Mm-hmm.
And so by that, I mean like, all right, so when I do a twist out or even a wash and go, which I rarely do these days, but day one hair, my curls are more defined, they're sleeker, it's smaller to my head. To me, I would define that as like more corporate.
Oh.
Versus day three hair, my hair is big. It's
ready
got
for the
a
club.
Lot of. Yes, it is frizzy. It's like weekend hair.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, when I look at you, every time I look at you, you're in the room or on photos, I feel like you've got a great head of corporate hair, like corporate curls that translate to like, if you had to go do an interview on TV, like you could wear your hair. If you needed to go get married, you could wear your hair like that. If you wanted to hang out with the girls, you could wear your hair like that.
Uh-huh.
Like, what do you think about that idea and like,
I know what you're saying. Like, go ahead. I'll let you answer the question, but I think I know what you're saying.
No. I'm like, I'm not even sure exactly what I'm getting at, but like in society, what we think about how, what's presentable, what's not, what's okay to wear, like to wear this, and things are changing in the actual corporate world, which is great. But
yes.
Like before everything was a part of the conversation, it was like conversation. It's like, well, I probably can't wear my hair like this to
like
work.
We had to think about all of those things. I think, and we have it easy in ways, right? Like if work is our Broadway show, then we could kind of do whatever we want until we get our wig on.
Do whatever we want.
But if I'm going to temp or if I'm going to whatever,
or even
my side hustle.
For what we do though,
exactly. You're right. I think it's changing. I think, you know, the right out of the shower look, like when my curls are just like the most defined and everything, but like the minute it gets dry or if my leave-in conditioner didn't touch a certain part of my bangs, right?
And
it looks like crazy. I think we're like heading into a place where our hair can do what it does. And I think I'm more, especially in this awakening that I'm in right now, of like, just embracing more of my Black self and myself as a Black woman, I'm kind of less, I even put like less product in my hair. I don't, I just wanted to do what it does naturally. I'll still, like, I never used to wear a bonnet to bed, like, before, like, learning that, like, oh, my curls need to moisturize. Like, oh, shit. Okay. Sorry, language, if you want to believe that.
No.
But I was like, okay, like, you know, so I'll still wear, like, my bonnet and everything, but I do try to, like, minimize the amount of stuff I put in my hair and just let it go. So even for auditions lately, if it's, like, over Zoom, it's just, like, this is where my hair is today. You know,
nice.
Yeah. And just embracing myself as a whole human, I think too, helps with all, helps all the way around. And I think, I hope that's the direction we're going in.
Right. In society. Like this for me, this is like a process for me. And I, obviously I'm like, I'm getting better because I'm not straightening. I have not straightened my hair since 2018.
Good for you,
also,
girl.
Thank you. I'm also wearing less wigs. So my solution to this in the past has been, well, I don't have corporate curls. I've got weekend hair every day of the week.
So when
I need a corporate look, I go put a wig on.
And so it's like, what can the corporate look be? Can it still be your natural hair out, but like put it up, but still have the bangs out? So it's still like you, still Felicia, you know what I mean? But it's like, you could still like, you know, fight crime or be the lawyer or whatever with your hair like up, but still in its natural state. It doesn't have to be straight. Like I used to have that thought process too of like, okay, when I'm, if I have to be, at this press event, like let me make sure I get a blowout when like my hair most of the time doesn't want to do that. I can't tell you the last time I straightened my hair, but I would usually do something like a dry bar or go somewhere eventually because I was like, okay. Even if it took like twice as long as like everybody else in the salon.
And sometimes you get charged a little bit more because
because it took that long. Exactly. Yeah. But the minute if it was a rainy day, oh my God, or humid, like
you're done.
I was like, oh well, that was a waste of my money because my hair doesn't want to be in that state. It wants to be in its natural state. So I think I've totally given into this is what my hair wants to do. And of course, make it quote unquote, like presentable as possible. But I'm trying to be in more control of what presentable means instead of the old school way of like, oh, let me make sure it's laying down. Let me make sure, you know what I mean?
And it does help when people who are in the spotlight, people in the media are wearing their hair any kind of way, like then it makes it like it's giving me permission. Like
exactly.
A few years ago, I watched Miss America and two of the girls in the top 10 had their hair natural.
Oh, I love
and
it.
Jesse, like it was
that's
like,
a game changer, right? Because it's
it
not
was
usually
a game
that
changer,
way.
But it took me a second because my first reaction as a Black woman watching other Black women on this Miss America stage, I was like, oh my gosh, you guys, like you didn't do your hair. Like my first reaction was that they didn't do their hair. And it didn't take me very long to switch what I thought. Cause I said to myself, like, no, actually, Salisha, because they're wearing their hair like that on this big stage.
Yeah.
It's giving
That's
you
major.
Permission.
Right. Exactly. It's the representation we've missed, right? Like we didn't see that growing up. It's exactly how we started this conversation. Like we saw everyone's hair laying down, everything looking like slick, seamless, perfect, you know, not a curl or frizz, quote unquote, like in sight. Where now it's like, oh, when you just wear it in your natural state, let me put a headband around this. Let me do a head wrap, but have this peeking out. We
it
have more
like
allowance for it.
If it takes me 5 seconds, my hair is not done. That's how it felt like. It has to take me at least an hour and a half for me to be presentable or else I didn't really do it.
Mm-hmm.
But so now it's kind of like if I slick up me like a high puff on my head.
Exactly.
Put some hoops on.
That's
honey, you can't tell me nothing. Like.
I love to see it, Salisha, really, because it's like as your friend and like I said, like watching from like the day one, like first haircut and like, I don't know, because I know that process too and how hard it is to really be like loving every piece of it, you know, like, and seeing that now I'm like, get it, girl. It's so cool. And it reminds me of like, oh yeah, like this is a piece of all of us.
Yes.
You know?
Like it is so weird when I love it, but also it's still very like, is this a thing? Like when people are so encouraging when I have my hair out, I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out, are they encouraging me because they knew I used to hate my hair like this? Or mm-hmm. are they encouraging me because it actually looks cool? Like, what like what is actually happening? I'm not sure.
It looks cool. I think it's all of it. And especially, like I was saying, like, I feel like there's so many of us Black women right now just being like, oh, look at us all shining and being just us, yes. you know, like we don't feel like we have to be anything but us.
Yeah, I awesome. See it on other women and mm-hmm. it's easier for me to look at other women and be like, yes,
you're so right. Yes. And then when it's us, we're like, yes, maybe. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, I'm like, you could have moisturized a little bit better.
You're killing it. You really are.
That is how I have felt about that. But I've also seen you lately, mm-hmm. Pivoting just a little bit, like being a voice, like social justice, like my little activist over here. Like,
it's like, I don't know where I've been, but I haven't been where I am now, you know? Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. That's.
I'm sorry. Can we just sit with that for a second?
Yeah.
I don't know where I've been. But I haven't been where I am now.
Yeah. It's too crazy of a time to not be speaking in our truth, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where I am. And I have been because of how I grew up. I've grown up in a multiracial, like I have white siblings and Black siblings and we all grew up in one house and, you know, they helped raise me and it's a beautiful thing. But I think because of that, I kind of grew up with these rose colored glasses of like, we all love each other, right?
Right. Cause you're seeing a side of the story where you do.
Exactly. And so truly it wasn't until I met my husband and he kind of, you know, he wasn't my husband at the time, but we were having these conversations about being Black in America. Mm. And I did have this idea that like, no, like that's not a thing, you know? And it's because I wasn't having conversations when I was right. younger. There's a lot that's like being uncovered right now of like, oh, I haven't been told the truth. And I had this idea of what the world was and that's not it. So now I'm full force, yeah. like grieving that, but also like empowered by who I am and empowered by Black people and my ancestors and just right. and yes. being okay with going, I think when you're biracial too, there's a little bit of an identity crisis. You're a little bit like, I'm Black, but, and it's because people have told me that growing up. But so I'm just fully embracing all of me. Yeah. I know that there's privilege that comes with being light skinned too. So I'm just learning. I'm learning and I'm open and I'm listening, but I'm also letting the white people in my life know like, oh, hey, that does bother me. And I haven't been talking about that. So yeah, right. girl, it's been a time. It's exhausting, but exciting and all of the things, you know?
What a journey. Like, honestly, for those of you listening, so Gil, what's his full name? Gilbert
Bailey.
Gilbert Bailey is a very talented Black man who was recently in Beetlejuice. Mm-hmm. He's actually done a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he's a talented one.
He's very talented and he can dance. Oh my gosh.
He can.
You know, okay, so I don't know if this will make the podcast. I might edit this out if this does not come out right. But
that's fine.
I have always been attracted to white men my whole, I've dated all everything, mm-hmm. White, Black, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I've always liked white men. And it's like the weirdest thing. After all of this stuff that has been happening lately, mm-hmm. I've actually questioned for my first time, like, wait, I literally don't even know what I see a picture in my head of what I'm trying to say,
like,
but I'm not
are
even...
you questioning your choices, like, oh, is that something that like society put on me, like that I have to like
yes uh-huh. yes yeah yeah I'm like, should I not or what,
right or like, oh, broaden your horizons or kind of like dig deep and like, oh, why yes. why is that? Because that was, yeah. I could say before Gil, I only dated white men because that's what I was around. And I had this idea in my head of like, oh, because I was picked on a lot, the Black men you know, when your kids in seventh, eighth grade, like the one black guy that I liked, he ended up liking me for a week, you know, you go through that and then they don't like you and then they're picking on you. And so I had in my head, oh, black guys don't like me. That even when Gil and I met and Gil was very forward in how he felt about me, I was like, no, he's lying. He's making fun of me. Like a lot of this like childhood trauma came up, but I don't think it's the idea of like, oh, that's not black men. That was just that experience with that black kid. You know,
and that's yes. And that's kind of what I've come to. I'm like, Salacia, you don't have to solve your whole love life right now. Just take it as it comes and pick each person case by case. Doesn't matter what color, race, whatever they are. Just
exactly.
One is its own case. So who knows? I might end up with a white guy. I might end up with a purple guy. Might end up with like a green guy. Who knows? Like, there was one time though, Jesse, you mentioned light skin. I dated one light-skinned guy in my whole life, and I've always had this thing like, light-skinned guys think they're better than everybody else. They don't want to talk to me, yada yada yada. Well, I met this one light-skinned guy, the first and the last one I've ever dated. And I was like, he is cute, he is into me. We would hang out all the time. And then we were like drinking slushies one day at 2 a.m. in my car. This is high school, and I don't know if my mom knew I was out, but I was
sorry,
like,
mom.
So, hey, right? Sorry, mom. I was like, what are you doing on Saturday? He's like, oh, I can't hang out Saturday. I'm going to a family reunion. I was like, oh, me too, but only at this time. He was like, me too, at the same time. Where's yours at?
Oh, my God, no. So, Lisa, you have the craziest stories. Were you related to him?
He was my freaking cousin.
Salisha!
No, I'm so embarrassed.
You really do need to write a book. Like, your stories are unbelievable.
Oh my gosh. I was like, oh my gosh. I liked him so much.
So now you're traumatized. You're like, traumatized. Is every light-skinned guy my cousin?
Right. I'm like, I have so much family. My parents are always like, who are their people? Because we might be related. Like, Jesse, I have so much family. Like,
yeah. I promise you it's not every light-skinned guy. I promise.
Do you promise?
Yes.
Because
no
if
way.
They got the last name Thomas or Jones or Stewart spelled two different ways. Or, like, even, you know, Josh Dawson?
Yes.
Okay,
I love
so
him.
Even, I know, me too. I call him my cousin because both of our grandmas live on the same street in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of nowhere, Arkansas. I bet we cousins.
You're like, let me just call that now.
Literally,
like,
we're just
going to
assume. Right. I'm like, I'm just going to assume that we are cousins. Period. That's pretty awkward. What's even more awkward was I told the guy, I was like, I mean, I won't tell if you don't.
But here we are. Telling the story. Also, sorry if you hear my dog barking in the background. I got a new puppy.
How is your new dog?
She's so good. She just woke up from a nap now. So she's probably just like, hello, is anybody home? But she's great. It's been nice to like love on something during this time too, you know?
I've been thinking about getting one myself. So I'm like, I see your pictures. I'm like, oh.
I know, girl. It's work. No lie. It is a job, but it's totally worth it. And we have the time right now.
Okay, so I want to ask you a couple things before we close out. One thing. What is keeping you going during this pandemic? Because I know like we are all like facing different challenges, whatever. Like, what are three things that like keep your fuel burning, keep you like not giving up? Like, that you're like, you know what? I'm going to show up. I'm going to do this podcast. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get a puppy. Like, what is keeping you going?
I think it's a balance of a bunch of things. I am really pushed by all the things that are happening in the world, even the crazy stuff. Just like informing myself, I think it is empowering for me. It feels like I have some kind of control taking in information and deciding like, okay, I'm going to put out there today about voting. I'm going to let people know I care about this, you know, and kind of spreading that knowledge. That feels empowering. It's also resting when I need to rest. It's kind of right now, you know, it's the crappy thing. We have all the time in the world, but we have all the time in the world. So we have a little bit more control over it than when we, when we were doing 8 shows a week. I'm excited for whenever that time comes again, but I think there's a reason for this rest right now. Like it shows like, oh, we have control over how our day goes. So let me make sure I work out today, or let me make sure that I rest today. I could sit here and read and have coffee today and watch my favorite TV shows. And we should be able to do those things even when things are quote unquote back to normal, right? Like we should be able to have more control over our days and not let our days control us. So I think that's what is empowering me right now, is that I can control my days and have the days in bed that I need the days in bed in a way. Yes. But also have the like quote unquote like productive days, you know?
Yeah, I think
So I think the balance of getting to rest, those are the things that are keeping me going, like staying informed, being able to rest when I can. And this puppy has been something I've wanted for a long time. So it feels nice to like, I've let my career kind of decide what I can and can't do. So it's been nice to kind of make a choice just for me and to go, oh, I'm just doing this because I want to, you know?
Whoa.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Like, oh, wait, Salisha, what are you doing? Like, is there something that you want to do? Like, this is the time. Like,
We kind of, and then applying that, you know, it's like, with everything that's been resurging with the Black Lives Matter movement, like, I want to make sure who I'm working for and the stories I'm telling are in line with how I feel and, you know, my beliefs, my morals. Like, I want to make sure who I'm working for cares about people who look like us, you know, it matters. Yes. So I think I'm excited for whatever happens after all of this. I hope it's changed because I'm ready for that.
I think we all are.
Yeah. For sure.
I mean, I am. I can't speak for everybody, but we are. And me.
Yeah, me too.
You and me. And also, what have you been up to? Anything creatively, like getting, or like big scale or small scale? Like, what if, like, to scratch that itch of like, since we are not on stage, is there anything that you're doing in your free time that you're excited about? That you're like, I love doing this.
Yeah, I think it's kind of similar to my last answer. Like in the beginning, I was like taking all the Zoom classes and doing all the acting classes and like getting ready, you know, like whenever it comes back, I want to be the one that's ready. And now I'm in this phase of like, oh, I'm going to be a puppy mom and dive into really training this dog. And I'm going to read this book on our history, you know,
like nesting,
exactly. Yeah. And like, I'm relearning myself. Like I told you, like as a Black woman, like, oh, I haven't heard of Black Wall Street, like, because I wasn't taught that in school. Like, let me learn everything about what happened in this time and in our history. And I think those things, diving into myself as a human, is only going to make me a better actor, a better performer, because I'll know more of myself. So that's kind of where I'm at
and
right now.
We can teach the people coming up after us. Because I did not really know what Juneteenth was until this year when everybody got Juneteenth off. I'm like, they didn't teach me that in school. And I'm Black.
Know. Right. So it's like, okay, let me like educate myself so then I can continue that education.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Oh man, our kids are gonna grow up and be like these beautiful natural hair divas. Yes. They're gonna be like knowing their culture, their heritage.
Like, I know, we are like not gonna let that pass by now, right? You know,
it's
like
we are not playing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I love you so much. Thank you.
I love you. Of course. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Jessie. Oh my gosh, you guys, everybody, Jessie Hooker Bailey.
Woo!
I need applause right here. All right, thank you so much. We're going to sign off now.
All right.
Thank you for joining me. I love you, Jessie.
Love you, Salisha. Thanks for having me.
Bye. Thanks for coming on. Y'all, I just love Jessie Hooker Bailey. Y'all, please give her a follow. Check her out on Instagram at Jessie Hooker Bailey. Special shout out to the Broadway Podcast Network. Thank you to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD. The full version is available on iTunes, sung by yours truly. Thank you to Derek Gunther for editing this episode, to Nick Gardner for helping me spread the word. Please subscribe, rate this podcast. I recommend 5 stars. Thank you so much. Oh, and share with a friend. Thank you for listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Celicia Thomas.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.